All right. I'm not saying it. Chav Dalad Yud. Parakhav Dalad Pasuk Yud. Parashat Mishpatim. It says, Vayiru Esel. Okay, guys. Vayiru Esel Ke Yisrael V'Nachas. They saw the God of Israel. Under his legs was something like a brick made of sapphire, and like the purity of the heavens in how pure it looked. Now, obviously, this is something that's one of the strangest psukim in the world. They saw Hashem. They looked at Hashem at Har Sinai. At the end of Mishpatim, after we go through all the laws that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave at Har Sinai together with the Aseres Dibros, going through all of those laws, afterward it says it goes back. In Parakhav Dalid, it goes back. Here's what happened right before Har Sinai happened. It goes from Dalid Sivan until Vav Sivan, Zayin Sivan, and it goes through. And it says that they saw HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But this is what Moshe Rabbeinu asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu for in Parashat Ki Tisa. He said, Hashem, I want to see your face. And he was told, you're not able to do so. You're not able to see my face. You can see my back, but you can't see my face. How were they able to see this? And additionally, I don't understand. Elokei Yisrael? What does that mean, Elokei Yisrael? As opposed to Elokim or Elokei anything else, what does that mean? The sapphire brickwork doesn't make any sense. That's underneath the feet of God. None of this makes any sense. What are we referring to? So here's the job. The first thing is that we have to be extremely careful. I'm using a big word here. Most of you guys are not going to know what this means. There's a couple more than three syllables here, but anthropomorphize. There's no way that we can do that to a Kaddish Baruch Hu. To make a Kaddish Baruch Hu into a human being is one of the 13 Ani Mamins of the Rambam. It's against everything we hold of. There is no physicality. We cannot allow ourselves to anthropomorphize what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is or how he appears to us. Whenever we use human terms throughout the entire Torah to describe HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this is mentioned in Mori Nevuchim, it's mentioned in the Rambam and in Yesodos HaTorah and Perek Aleph. It's mentioned by the Ramban in about seven different places. In all these places, it's clear, Chas v'shalom, to ever think of God in human terms. And even though we have a Yad of Hashem and an Etzba Elokim and all these types of things, it's all there for us to understand how HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world in some way that we can understand, there's some way that we can fathom, but that's all it is. And it's, in fact, in Parshas Vaschanan, when we go through this Parsha again of Matan Torah, it says very clearly, Utmuna einchem roim zulasi kol. You didn't see a picture. You heard a voice, or you saw a voice being said. That's in Pasuk Yud Beis. In Pasuk Tezvav, ki lo re'isem kol tmuna. You did not see any pictures. B'yom divar Hashem Elokim mechorev me'etoch ha'esh. When Hashem spoke in the midst of the fire. There were no pictures. So for us to say now that they saw God, by Yiru Elokim, Elokei Yisrael, that makes no sense. It doesn't make any sense. It says straight out of Baschanan that they didn't see God, that there was nothing for them to see. So what does it mean exactly? So the idea is that these terms are going to help us understand what God does, but not that he's a physical being. I'm going to give a couple other riots. Anybody know that Gemara in Tainus where they tried to look at Reb Chiya? Anybody know what happened after they tried to look at Reb Chiya? Gemara Bava Metzia, you know it, right? Their eyes, yeah. Go ahead. Very close to it. There was an Amora, unnamed Amora, and I think it's actually Pei Gimel and Beis in Bava Metzia. I'd have to look it up. I forgot to look it up before. But Reb Chiya, after he passed away, there's an unnamed Amora who tried looking at it, and Elio Navi told him, do not look at Reb Chiya's throne. Don't look at what Reb Chiya has. Reb Chiya's throne is different from all the other thrones of all the other Amorayim, Reb Yanai, Reb Yochanan, etc. Not like any of them. Reb Chiya's throne you can't look at. And he did, and his eyes were burned out. If you can't look at Reb Chiya's throne, how in the world could you look at a Kadosh Baruch Hu? How were they able to see a Kadosh Baruch Hu and not have their eyes burned out? Reb Shimon Chanan was asked by the emperor, probably Trajan. Trajan asked him, can I see God? I want to look at God. It might have been Hadrian also, but he said, can I look at God? Rabbi Yeshua ben Hanania told him, go look at the sun. And if you can see what's beyond the sun, then you can look at God. And when when Trajan or Hadrian wasn't able to look at the sun, he said, if you can't look at one of the Meshamshim of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, one of the servants of God, how are you supposed to look at a Kadosh Baruch Hu himself? It's impossible to say. So it's a Nevuah. And a Nevuah has a message. Seeing God means there's something we're supposed to be getting out of this, and that message is sapphire brickwork that is a pure heaven. What does that mean? What is that exactly? So Rashi says, the people that looked were actually Chayav Misa for doing so. Looking at this was made them Chayav Misa. HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't want to mar the day, this day of Simcha when the Torah was given, by killing anyone. So even though Nadav and Abihu were Chayav Misa, they weren't actually killed until later on by Rosh Chodesh Nisan. And even though that also was a day of Simcha, this must have been a greater day of Simcha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, they're not going to die now. That's not going to be. So that means, according to what Rashi is saying, It was not everyone that saw God. It wasn't everyone that saw this image that projected in front of them. It was the greatest people of that nation. And it wasn't Moshe. Moshe didn't look at the sneh. He wouldn't look at an image of a Kadosh Baruch Hu that projected for him. So that wouldn't be. Moshe Rabbeinu wouldn't have done it. Aaron was on his level. That wouldn't have happened. It would have been the next level down, Nadav and Avihu and the Ziknei Yisrael, who would have looked. And those people were able to see this thing. That means the greatest people were seeing this, not everybody. The Ramban speaks about this in his Derech HaEmes, that the only thing, this is only seen by the greatest people in that generation, and it's hinted to by the words Elokei Yisrael, the God of Israel, without the Shem Hashem before it. They saw something that was different than the regular Hashem Elokim that other people would have noticed. They noticed something even greater, the level of what we call Elokei Yisrael. So what do they see? The Rabbeinu Bechaya says the S, Vayiru S, Elokei Yisrael, what does the S refer to? It includes something. They saw the Shekhinah itself, which is exactly what Yechezkel saw in his famous vision that we say on the first night of Shavuos. And because of that, nobody has any idea what's going on. I shouldn't say first night, the first morning of Shavuos in the Haftorah, where by that time, if you're still awake, you are a tzaddik gummer of all tremendous, tremendous performance. That is absolutely unbelievable. But that is the greatest Haftorah, the Haftorah that goes through what Yechezkel saw in his vision and Perek Aleph and Perek Beis and Yechezkel. It's amazing. That idea is what they saw. The high angels that are known as the Chayos HaKodesh, together with the Ofanei HaKodesh, that Kodesh, that are running the Merkava, the Maisim Merkava, the chariot of God. This is what they saw, says the Rabbeinu Bechaya, and that's included from the word S. The S Elokei Yisrael is the God of Israel that works as well as everything there. The Rashbam says, this is comparable to what Moshe Rabbeinu saw later on in Kisisa, the back of Hashem. And that's what Rashi meant. It was an avua that they were allowed to see. They weren't allowed to do it without getting permission like Moshe Rabbeinu was. But nonetheless, that's what they saw. They saw something that was a little bit different from everything else. The Sforno says they saw something that was beyond their ability to describe and understand. The clearest thing that a person can think of, the clearest thing would be sort of like a sapphire stone that's pure in its purity, and you can almost see through it. It's like a clear, clear stone, almost like a diamond. That's the clearest thing. If I want to describe to you the color of a diamond, it would almost be impossible to do so, because the clarity of a pure diamond, I mean like a really good diamond, is almost impossible to describe. And it's the same thing when it comes to a pure sky, a pure heaven that has that light blue image to it, that purity of the sky itself. To describe that to someone, these are the purest of the pure. There's no other way to describe it. Says the Sforno, they described something that was the whitest of the white, the clearest of the clear. And that's what it means by Ke'etzer Shemayim L'Torah. They couldn't even describe it. What does that mean? They saw a sapphire stone, a beautiful gemstone, a beautiful sky, but there was no other way to describe what they saw because it was too impossible for them to use words. Rabbeinu Bechaya adds, you know what they really saw? Snow. Why'd they see snow? Kind of apropos to here right now, right? In Pirkei de Rabbi Elazar, it says, in Perek Lamed Gimel, it says that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to create the world, he reached out from under the Kisei HaKavod and he pulled out snow, threw it on the ground, and he caused the world to be created from that snow. There's a lot to this, and I don't want to go into this now, but I have a shiur elsewhere that goes through why Sheleg is 333, and why it's connected the way, and why it's water and ice, but there's snow that's sort of like an in-between, and how that goes through. And the Rabbeinu Bechaya says, this snow is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed them. It's a light snow, a snow made of light, that was thrown onto the world, and its pure whiteness is impossible to describe. And then he goes on, Al Derech Kabbalah. What were you going to ask him? Nothing.
Sapphire is blue.
Very, very good call. Very, very good call. There is going to be, that's going to be a problem with the Ibn Ezra that he says later on about this idea. But the Sforno says the purest of the pure, the whitest of the white, he just says it like that. I would assume what it means is that the sapphire is so clear and blue that you're able to see through it. I assume that's what he's talking about, and that's what he means by that. The Al-Sheikh says they were seeing the highest form of anything that anybody was able to see. They saw like the curtain, the pargod behind Shemayim. They were seeing something that was unbelievably great. The Ibn Ezra says this Nevuah was similar to what Mechiyahu mentions in Malachim Aleph Perachov Beis, and Yechezkel and Yeshayah in their famous Nevuahs. It was the throne of God, and he says it was an awesome color. Now here, I don't know what the Ibn Ezra means. He either means blue, red, or white. He seems to be saying the word red, but I'm not positive that he's referring to. It seems that he doesn't like the word white over here, but he says that, and the Chizkuni says it as well. And again, the same idea, but it was the Nevuahs that they saw over here. The Nesiv says it doesn't make any sense. To say it's the snow that they saw that was underneath the Kiseh Kavod, I get that, because it's Tachas Raglei. It was under the legs, so to speak, of God. That would be underneath the throne, so he pulled out the snow that's underneath the throne. But according to these ideas that they were seeing the vision of the throne of God, the Kiseh HaKavod, what allows things to happen, why would that be under the feet of God? It wouldn't be under the feet. You don't have a throne underneath your feet. That's not what you have. Says the Netziv, when a king sits on his throne and judges the nations around them, this refers to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how he sits on his throne above and judges the land where his feet are. Ha'aretz Hadom Ragloi. The land is the footstool of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This land that everybody is on, the judgment that HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes on our land is the idea of the honor that HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings into the world. While things are happening, the world is running the way that it is, it's impossible to see all of the decisions of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and understand exactly what's going on. There's so much to deal with. There's so much going on. You'd need a supercomputer to deal with the billions, the trillions of details that are going on at all times when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is dealing with stuff inside this world. So to deal with it right then and to try to understand, oh, this is why this is happening, is ridiculous. There's no way for us to do it. Yechezkel seeing the throne of God, what that means over there, means, says the Netziv, he saw the thought process of God. This vision that Bnei Yisrael were seeing right now does not mean that they were seeing a throne. It does not mean they were seeing a stone underneath that throne. It doesn't mean that they were seeing the heavenly skies. They were seeing a thought process. They were watching, so to speak, the greatest supercomputer, and I know Lahavdil a trillion of those, but the greatest supercomputer and the inner workings, how things were going on, watching the mind connect and put things together. You know, like those things where like a person has this craziness to him and he's trying to connect the dots between all the government conspiracies, how like 9/11 is connected with the moon landing and it's doing with everything, and how God, everything is like that. They were watching how everything connects to one another in a real-time fashion and seeing it in front of their eyes, and they saw it. That's the heads of the Chayos HaKodesh, the idea of what was going on in the world and why it was all happening. The thought process, a purity of thought, a clarity that they could never describe afterward, because it's impossible. If somebody would ask you afterward, what just happened? How could you do it? There are so many times where things happen and you're trying to explain yourself and you're like, I got it on the tip of my tongue, but I can't say it. This is trillions, quadrillions, quintillions of bits of information being thrown in your head at one time and trying to put it out and say it in words, impossible. I see something, I just can't describe what it is. That's what they were saying, seeing, says the Netziv. And the Ksav Sofer says, that's the purpose of all of Gullus. Gullus is for bad things to happen, for us to come together because of it, for us to feel a bit of Achdus through there and act in order to make a Kiddush Hashem. The idea is that tzaddikim don't need that to be great. Tzaddikim are great in and of themselves. Things can be attributed back to them because of their contributions to society. But these men were able to see how HaKadosh Baruch Hu is everywhere and does everything and see things, I guess you could say, that tzaddikim are privy to every single day of their lives. They're able to get it. And that's the idea that Ksav Sofer is saying, like the Netziv. They're seeing sapphires and greatness even in the bricks. And specifically, it's a brick of sapphire. They looked back, realizing this is a plan of God, and saw the bricks that they made in Mitzrayim. Even those bricks had a purpose and a reason for being there, and therefore X, Y, and Z happened. We don't know this. I mean, I don't even know if they fully understood what they were seeing, but they got the concept. They understood. They sat there and they said to themselves, there's something awesome going on here. There's something unbelievable that a person is going through. And they sat there and they said, this is unbelievable. We shouldn't need this gullus to get that clarity, but it's there for us to be able to get from it. Rav Hirsch says, it was very clearly, as we said before, there was no picture, there was a coal. Nothing physical. They saw something that was right over there. He says the whole vision is not referring to what it is. They saw something that was special. They knew something was special. They couldn't describe it to others. And in the same way that it's even the Ksav Sofer saying it's the plan of God, Rav Hirsch says the same thing. It's not Re'ias Ha'ayin. It was a Re'ias Halev. Something that they felt, but they couldn't describe. HaKsav HaKabbalah says he doesn't think it was a vision of God. Up until now, we've been saying all these Rishonim and everything else. I've been saying it's God, it's God, it's God, it's the throne, it's something like that. Ksav HaKabbalah says they weren't looking at God. It was a description of the great men. Now remember, at Har Sinai, you couldn't go up the mountain itself. You had a border around the mountain. But certain people were allowed to go up a little bit. Now remember, a mountain is a mountain. It's not like, you know, like Mount Trashmore over there. A mountain just doesn't start. It's not like, I know how, like, we draw pictures and then all of a sudden you have a mountain going up, right? And everything's like that. And it seems like it's so obvious. Where does the mountain start? Where does the border around the mountain start? The border started at some point around Har Sinai. And below that, there were still mountain areas. It was still like going up a little bit. And Moshe Rabbeinu was allowed to be on the top level by the border. Then came Aaron, then came Nadav and Avihu and the Zekanim, and the rest of the people all the way around there. The people looked up and they weren't seeing God. They weren't seeing God because that's impossible. It's physical. Says that Ksav HaKabbalah. They were seeing the Tzadikim. They saw these great men and they looked like angels on fire. They couldn't describe how great they were. He says that the body can be referred to as a tachas. He says that tachas could be the way that the body is described. And a navi can be described as a meragil. He gives proofs for both of those things. And he says, that, so to speak, it's like he's walking somewhere, going somewhere. The bodies of these neviim, the tachas raglov, does not mean under the feet of God. The tachas, the bodies of the raglov, of the people walking, of the neviim, look to be sapphire-like, pure as the heavens. Everything they did. Can you imagine seeing a tzaddik of that magnitude being reflecting the light of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? To them, they were watching the moon. The Shekhinah being the sun, which they couldn't look at and blinded them, and they kept their eyes down. And what they looked at instead was the people reflecting that light. And Moshe Rabbeinu standing there in all his glory as the greatest Navi we've ever had, reflecting the light back. He's shining like a bright star, like a tremendously bright star. And they're seeing it, and there was a clarity to Moshe that they've never seen before. It was as if they were looking at a sapphire stone that was so beautiful, and the radiance was going out throughout the entire world. They couldn't understand it. They were shocked by it. That's what they were looking on top. And then Aaron, and then Nadav and Avihu, and the Zekanim, they all looked awesome. It wasn't that they were looking at God. They were seeing the reflection of what God was to these great men. That's what they were looking at. The Bala Turim says even more so. They weren't looking at the people either. They saw a picture on the Kisei HaKavod. The picture was Yaakov Avinu. On the Kisei HaKavod, there are four pictures described again in Yechezkel in the first parak. One is a lion. One is either a crew of a rasho or a shore. The other one is a nesher, maybe like a snake eagle type of thing, like almost like a dragon. And on the other side, or worm, I think that's what they call it, W-Y-R-M in England. But the fourth one was an Adam. And this man looked like Yaakov Avinu. And they saw this on the Kisei HaKavod. Turned to them was the picture of an Adam Rishon. And they were seeing that picture of Adam of Yaakov Avinu, who looked like Me'ein Shufrei to Adam Rishon. Says the Bala Turim, they saw the word Yisrael. They saw Elokei Yisrael, the God of Yisrael, Yisrael being Yaakov. And they saw his face up there. And it meant to them that the reason why they're standing where they are today is because of their schlesavos. Because what Yaakov did, what Yitzchak did, and Avram Avinu did, and seeing that face on the Kisei HaKavod made everything totally different. That's what the Ramban says, Al Derech HaPshat. They weren't looking at God. They weren't looking at the Tzidikim. They were looking at a picture on the Kisei HaKavod over there. The Rabbeinu Ephraim says, if you learn Torah, you have the schus to be able to be under the Kisei HaKavod. Now, I don't know exactly what that means, because obviously Gan Eden and whatever it is, I would assume it means that once you connect to your Creator in some way by learning, you're able to be together with the Creator. It's almost like you're an attachment to where the Creator is. That's the concept, what happened to what it means that they saw Yaakov Avinu's face. Now, what about the sapphire brickwork? According to one opinion, we already said that the brickwork we're referring to some type of awesomeness that they saw in the bricks. Rashi says, this brick was underneath the Kisei HaKavod, and it had been there from the times that they had been slaves in Mitzrayim as a constant reminder to God, and I'm using air quotes for that, a constant reminder to God of what they were doing in Mitzrayim. What's strange is that the brick was still there, even though they were no longer slaves. Why in the world would the brick be there now that they're done? It would be in the past, but why is it now? Yeah. That they're the slaves now. So the brick represented the slavery of Bnei Yisrael to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Brilliant answer. That's a really good answer. Yeah, but that's a very, very good one. Rav Hirsch says he doesn't think that the brick was a bad thing at all. He thinks it represents the words Nasa V'Nishma. Nasa V'Nishma, that showed everybody what they were supposed to do and how they were going to be. The brick was the cornerstone, not a brick of Mitzrayim, a brick of the cornerstone of their new building of a nation, that their nation is just starting. starting at Har Sinai, and it started right there, and it's the construct of what the nation will be, and was correct to place that brick right by the Kisei HaKavod. It's not slavery. This is a great thing. This is where we're going to build ourselves up from. That's who we're going to be. That's what the brick was. But then Targum Yonason gives a little bit more detail, and you probably have heard this medrash before. If anybody has that, what's that, Gadi Levi? Is that the Haggadah that's awesome, the picture Haggadah? You know what I'm talking about? Mm-hmm. It's like the Rabbi Chait Haggadah or something, yeah. Right? So God, is his name Gadi Levi? I don't remember what his name is. Yeah, or whatever his name is. Awesome pictures. Anybody have that Haggadah, aside from Joey, obviously? Anybody else have that?
I think I've seen that.
Okay, you don't know how to live. I'm telling you, your whole Seder is totally different when you have these pictures. The pictures are unbelievable. Absolutely, like, I can make a picture like that, but it'd have to be a stick man and no color. These are unreal pictures. Unreal pictures, that's how you there. In these pictures is a picture of this woman. In this medrash over here, where the Targum Yonason says, the men and the women were forced to make bricks, and they were stuck in the mud doing whatever they need to do, in the mud and the straw and putting stuff together. One of these women were pregnant, and she went into a large, deep pit in order to scrape out the mud and be able to give it to her husband to be able to go through there, and unfortunately, she spent a lot of time working hard. She didn't eat enough, didn't drink enough, and whatever it was. She miscarried her baby into the mud. She had a miscarriage, and the baby fell into the mud and obviously died. And she cried out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. She cried out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, begging Hashem to end the Golus. And Gavriel HaMalach, says Targum Yonason, came down, took the mud with the baby, turned it into a brick, and brought that brick up to the throne of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's time for the Golus to end. This is when the Golus needs to end. This allowed for that brick, because Gavriel was involved, for the brick to shine as brightly as a precious stone, as the clearest sky in the middle of the day. It was a brick made of mud with a baby in it, with a fetus inside there, that shone as clear as day, which was a tremendous chus for the fetus's neshama, and was a constant reminder of what Bnei Yisrael went through, as if HaKadosh Baruch Hu was saying, Imo Anochi Bitzara, I'm with you in your pain. It makes sense that brick would be there for all time. According to this Targum Yonason, it makes a lot of sense. Now, the Nachlas Yaakov says, it was not there after the Jews were redeemed. After the Jews were redeemed, the brick left. But there is no concept of time in the world of the throne of God. So therefore, even though they were seeing a brick, right? So how could they? In real time, it wasn't. There is no real time by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They were seeing something it's impossible for it to be there and not be there. It's just there. It's something that is there because that's a vision. I'm not so sure I fully understand it, but that's what he says. Dasikin gives another thing. Gavriel brought it up when the Malach of Mitzrayim was complaining that the Jews were sinners as well. And the Malach of Mitzrayim said, why should my children die? The Jews also sinned. To which Gavriel HaMalach picked up this brick out and said, look what they did to the fetuses, to the babies of Klal Yisrael. Look what it is. Says the Dasikin, he brought up the Livnas, the brick of the Sapir. Sapir is the word Shapir. Sphere, in I guess it's Hebrew, I'm not sure if it's Hebrew or Aramaic, means the embryonic sac of the baby. And in that brick, Livna Sapir was the Livena, the brick of the Shapir, of this baby that it brought up to the throne. And that remained until the destruction of the first base of Mikdash. That Yerushalmi Sukkah says from Reish Lakish, they were redeemed once this brick was taken out. The Chizkuni brings another message that wasn't Gavriel, it was Michoel that brought it up. I guess there's a difference between whether it was Midas Adin or Midas Arachamim. I don't know what's the difference between those. But not only that, do you know the name of that woman? The woman who cried out loud, that's in the picture of God. You remember the picture of the book? You remember that picture? It's the woman going like that in the mud. You remember it? Honestly, why are you from, aside from that? That's the only reason why you're from. It's the greatest picture in the world. It's honestly the greatest picture of that woman crying out loud over there. Chizkuni says her name was Rachel, the daughter of, I saw two girsas, either Misushelach, not the Misushelach who's 969 years old and lived a long time ago, Rachel, the daughter of Misushelach, or Shuselach. I don't know which one it is, but it's one of the two. She was of Bnei Ephraim. The Zohar says it was a large, it wasn't even Gavriel or Michal. Zohar says a large hand came down from Shemayim, picked up the mud, and turned it into a brick and put it up in Shemayim. That'd be very cool to see. I wish I could see that. I really wish that I could see something like that coming down and over there. Sforno says, the neshama of a person is what is considered under the feet of Hashem. And the neshama of a person is like a sapphire stone. What does that mean? It reflects any light that shines against it. You have a sapphire stone and it reflects light, so too the neshama of a person is able to show something more beautiful. This is unlike a malach. A malach is only din or chesed, and that's it. It has no ability to shine back, to reflect back. The Chassam Sofer in Drasho says, this is the whole problem of coins. We know we have something called Parshas Shkalim. We know that, right? Everybody knows what Parshas Shkalim is. Parshas Shkalim is the parsha in which we take a chatzi shekel and we redeem our souls by giving this chatzi shekel to the Mishkan, to the Beis HaMikdash. Parshas Shkalim is about that process of the kapara. Here's the kasha. How can a coin redeem me? I'm a special person. I've got an neshama mimal. I've got an neshama from up high. And you're telling me that a coin is good enough to be a kapara for me? That giving a coin is if I got myself forgiven? How is a coin chashuv enough to redeem me? That's the kasha. How could that be? The Chassam Sofer asks this kasha in his drushos. He says, it doesn't make any sense. A coin is going to be your... What does that mean that a shekel is going to be there? So he says... I'm sorry? Really, it's the same thing by Pidyon HaBen. Five shekel kesef? Really, over there, it's the guy deciding, right, whether he wants to keep the baby or keep the money. Right, that's really what it is. In theory, it would be such an awesome trick, but I know it'll never happen. Where a guy says to the coin, like, now keep the baby. Right? It's $125. I'm not giving you $125. I'd love to keep the baby. And I know there's always the joke, which one do you want? The guy's like, And I know it would be awesome if somebody finally decided to just like, no. It's my firstborn. Give it to you as a gift. It'd be unbelievable. Okay, it's really sick and terrible, and I would never do that to my firstborn, right? But regardless, that would be totally different. It would be something there. The answer is that the coin, like the neshama, is like a shell that could be used or molded into everything. That's what the coin is. The coin is a shell. You can do anything with it. The coin that was used for Chatzi Shekel that was shown to Moshe Rabbeinu was pulled out again from underneath the Kisei HaKavod. You know what that means? Because the Neshamos are pulled out from underneath the Kisei HaKavod. It's a lesson that somehow a Neshama stands for something that can be molded. The coin stands for something that can be molded. The whole point of this Livna Sasapir, the brick of sapphire that was pulled out from the Kisei HaKavod, is showing you, you have a Neshama. Your neshama is special. It's not like anything else in the world. There's something great to it. And the lesson that they were seeing, what they were seeing up there is their, and I know everybody hates this word, their potential, their greatness as a human being. You're not a malach. You're not standing there stagnant. You can keep growing. You can become better. You can become great if you try really hard. That's what this stood for. And the coin was there to show them that they could be something like that. That's the concept of what it was supposed to be. The Kedushas Levi says that the concept of greatness and anivus, the highest level of anivus and greatness, is represented by the color white. So when it says Livna Sapir, it really was a showing that there was something great, that had something out there. There's a Kedushas Levi over here. You can check out the rest over there, but I don't want to go into the Kedushas Levi right now. There's a tremendous explanation for this vision given by the Malbim. Now, if you don't read this Malbim inside, I'm really doing it an injustice. It can't be translated properly. There's no way to be able to do that. And the truth is, I think everybody's going to get something different out of this Malbim. It's a tremendous, tremendous idea. But his main goal is, what's the difference between Elohim and Elokei Yisrael? There's Elohim in charge of the world and Elokei Yisrael. And over here, they saw Elokei Yisrael. Not Elohim. They saw Elokei Yisrael. Now, it's obvious. I think you all know the answer just by me saying it that way. Elohim means God runs the world through the powers of nature and allows things to happen naturally. That if you would just step back, you could be just a really dumb scientist and look at the world and say, yep, the world runs on its own. There ain't no God. Maybe God created the world many, many, many years ago, like billions of years ago, but the world clearly runs as is. And that's just the way the world runs. It's natural, it's normal. I can explain everything except for a few things, but everything can be explained through the powers of nature and the powers of science. I have the ability to do that. That's my scientist voice, by the way. Do you notice? Do you like it? Good. I tried. So now in this, the name Elokei Yisrael is greater. Elokei Yisrael is understood how HaKadosh Baruch Hu sometimes goes above nature. He leads B'nai Yisrael and helps them with every single thing that they might need. Even in miraculous ways, a nes has to happen, he'll do it if they deserve such treatment. Whether that's for good or sometimes even for bad. Miracles can happen to do something bad if that's what B'nai Yisrael needs at that time. The world runs through nature. The world, and that means the other nations and everything they go through, is something that's natural, natural process, normal things. That's how the world runs. But us, our God, Elokei Yisrael treats us as if this is how the world is going to be. I am going to supersede nature, allow miracles to happen, and make crazy things happen specifically for Klal Yisrael. This is Yechezkel. Now, I'm going to go through some of the Malbim says. This is amazing. Absolutely amazing. The Chayos HaKodesh and the Ofanei HaKodesh. The Chayos HaKodesh are these Malachim that are running back and forth. The Ofanei HaKodesh, so to speak, are the wheels. The wheels that make everything turn, that make everything run. And the Chayos HaKodesh are on top of the Ofanim. The Chayos go one way, the Ofanim go with them. The Chayos go the other way, the Ofanim go with them. Says the Malbim, the Chayos walk or fly. Wherever they go, whatever they do, they bring the Ofanim with them. This is nature. It's a spiritual way of looking at the natural world. At Yechezkel, instead of seeing the natural world run the way that we see it, where things grow and rain falls and there's evaporation and the things happen in a natural fashion, he's looking at the spiritual essence of nature, and the spiritual essence of nature are, there are Chayos HaKodesh with Ofanim going this way and that, and this way is evaporation, this way is the rain coming down, this way is the grass growing, this way is a person eating the grass, this is the fact that a person goes to the washroom. Everything is natural and normal. And everything is there. The Chayos HaKodesh and the Ofanim are making everything happen. It's all Elokim. Yechezkel is watching how the world is running, how the world is flying. The flying of the Chayos HaKodesh represents the world when it's filled with nisim nistarim, great miracles that we don't see in the world that reward people or punish them for their actions. And the walking is the way the world goes when nature goes in the natural way as if it's going on its own. Above all those Chayos is the throne of glory. Yechezkel is seeing the Chayos and the Ofanim, but above that he sees a throne. And on that throne, the Maaseh Merkava, he sees pictures. He sees the kings of the world, the Nesher and the Aryeh and the Kruv / Shor and Adam Arishon. He sees the leaders that are there. That's the world of magic. Not the Harry Potter world, but a world of pure magic where HaKadosh Baruch Hu allows things to happen to those who need it. It goes above nature. When Hashem needs to do something that's beyond the normal, when Jews need something that are not, it's not natural. There's no reason why it should happen. That's where HaKadosh Baruch Hu pulls it down. A word of God goes out through the Srafim, these burning angels, which is the word of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and it freezes the Chayos and the natural world. The Chayos stop their running. The Ofanim don't turn anymore. The wheels stop where they are. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to, he stops nature and he says, all right, it's miracle time. Kriyas Yam Tov is going to happen. The Makos are going to happen. Things are going to happen in this world that are not Nisim Nistarim, they're Nisim Gluyim. The fire is not going to burn Avram Avinu. Hanani Mishael Azariah will be able to be saved from that fiery furnace. Daniel will not be eaten by lions. Miracles will occur time after time after time again because you're above the area of the Chayos. You are above them. You're now in the area of the Maaseh Merkava. And when you're looking at that, when we're describing that, they see beyond the plan, beyond Elokim. That's Elokei Yisrael. The God of Israel, where anything that needs to happen will happen. In the lower area, I don't want to go through, but the Shor and the Kruv that I keep mentioning, the Shor is in the lower area, the Kruv is in the higher area. It's an unbelievable idea. So here, by Matan Torah, what were the elders seeing? What were the Zekanim, the great men of Israel, seeing? They were seeing the Hanhaga of Hashem, the way that God runs the world, called Elokei Yisrael. Vayiru, and they saw Elokei Yisrael. That does not mean that they saw God. They saw an image of some old man with white hair and a white beard sitting on a throne and sitting there and, you know, going like this and like making things happen. They weren't seeing that. That's ridiculous. There was no, that's not it. They were seeing the Hanhaga, the way God acts, called Elokei Yisrael, which is above nature, to the miracle world, where they were seeing the miracles happen in such an awesome place. This is sapphire stones and clear skies, where things are so awesome, amazed by the power of God, you're blinded by how awesome it is. That's what they were. They're zocha to the levena, the bricks that they had in Mitzrayim. They were above that now. The levena was on the bottom of the kisya kavod. That's the natural world where things didn't make any sense to them and things were just running normally. The leaders, the Egyptians, took over the Jews and the leaders, the Egyptians, ruled over the Jews and everything was happening that way. This is different. Their vision was something which we call aspaklaria she'ena me'ira. A clarity which is not fully clear, but they were able to see something above it, above how the normal world goes. In the future, we assume that this is going to be the vision we see. It's no longer going to be Elokim. We're not going to be blessing Elokim, Elokeinu. It's going to be Elokei Yisrael. And I don't know if the Malbim means that our brachas are going to change. Baruch Atah Hashem, Elokei Yisrael, Melech HaOlam. I don't know if that's what it is. I don't know if he says that that's the idea behind it. Or Baruch Atah Hashem, Elokei Yisrael, Elokei Avoseinu. I don't know if that's what he means. But the concept will be different. By the times of Mashiach, when Mashiach comes, it's a world of Nisi. It's a world of the Kisei HaKavod. It's a world above everything else. What their vision was. It's no longer the small little version down here. Mashiach comes, it's going to be awesome in the sense that everything seems to go awry. Everything seems to go weird. But it's all according to a plan. It's all according to a plan. That first it's this, and then it's that. And if we have that bitachon, it's all going to work out in the most perfect way possible. Should be zogra to see this. This is what Elokei Yisrael is all about. So if I ask you, so what did they see when they saw this vision? Anybody who tells me that they saw a vision of God in some way, shape, or form is ridiculous. That's not what they were seeing. They were seeing a nevuah. And what the nevuah meant, what the nevuah was referring to the greatness of their tzaddikim, the way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world, how HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants the world to run through some type of force. All of those things would be proper answers. They didn't see God. They saw what God does. We'll stop with that, guys. Have a great Shabbos.